Here we go with John Curley and starring Sherry Hellicker. And don't forget,
Chico and the Man will not be presented this evening, and the Rockford Files will be seen 1 hour later than normal.
Wow.
So that we may bring you the following special program.
That's this program right here. Diving into the news. Rockford Files. At some point during the Rockford Files, Jim would always get hit over the head with a pistol and then come to later on and be like, oh, Angel. Remember, he was rubbing the back of his head.
Now, it was Mariette Hartley. She wasn't part of the Rockford Files. She just did those dumb commercials with James Garner, right?
I think so. Thank you, Everett. Thank you. So, got one real weird sort of just tangent, not that this show isn't as full of them. My brother was in a holdup. We'll take the music up for 1 second, please, Andrew. In Washington, D.C. And terrible story, but he got hit in the head with the guy that was robbing the video store that he was in DuPont Circle. And as my brother says, the most amazing thing about the human mind is while the man is hitting me in the head with a gun, right, and not knocking me unconscious, I all of a sudden thought of Rockford Files. And I thought of how Jim used to always get hit in the head and then be knocked out for some period of time and then come to. And then he was like, oh, Angel, rubbing his head. And he kind of missed everything that happened. And Chuck said, I got hit in the head. It hurt. And I thought, huh, aren't I supposed to be unconscious at this point? And then coming to 20 minutes later after a couple of commercials.
And being just fine, like, oh, man, why'd that have
Angel
to happen?
All right, and then Chico the Man. All right, music back in. Make it sound like we're doing a radio show, please. There we go. All right, let's see. Getting into it, the fact that it was tough. You know, I don't know why they keep doing this to Kamala Harris. I don't know whether maybe they want to get rid of her. Or I don't know what it is, but they keep sending her out, I guess, to try to clean up for yesterday's press conference. Her boss was on there, and he did almost 2 hours. And people were amazed that he went for 2 hours. It's a low, low bar. And she went out, and I guess what was the point of sending the vice president out?
Well, what they're trying to do with her is they're trying to give her more long-form interviews. They want her to be taken seriously. And because she's missed the mark so many times, because she's laughed at things that were inappropriate, or she hasn't had the answers to things, they are making her front and center on a few very key issues, like voting rights, that type of thing. The other ones, they felt like, were sort of no-win situations. You know, the border, that type of stuff. They feel like, you know, this is her opportunity to be out there and to continue to prove herself. What she keeps doing is when you're in a hole, stop digging.
Yeah.
And she keeps digging herself more and more into the hole because there's so much scrutiny on her. So anything that she says, people are going to jump on.
Do we have sound of this, Jacob?
We do.
Where is it?
Oh, good. We're back.
You play it. Back to that again.
She was on. She did some of the morning talk shows. So she was on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie, and she was also on CBS Morning News.
Jacob found the sound, so he's gonna.
Well, and we'll start just for context, real quick, going back to the presser yesterday because she's responding.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I see her. I see her right here. I got her. I got her. Here she is.
Did the president essentially give the green light to Vladimir Putin to take a piece of Ukraine, to take a bite out of Ukraine?
So, Savannah, first of all, I will tell you that I every morning start my morning and my day reading the presidential daily brief, the PDB, which contains classified information about threats to our national security and hotspots around the world. I am often in the Situation Room with the leaders of our military and our intelligence community and, of course, the President of the United States. And on the subject of Ukraine, I will tell you that the president has been very clear, and we as the United States are very clear. If Putin takes aggressive...
Savannah's trying to get in there.
...action.
Mm-hmm. Listen how clear. Here's how clear she was. Here's how clear they were.
So I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, etc.
Okay, so we're going to give you a minor incursion. They have 100,000 troops at the border. They have got anti-aircraft. They've got tons of tanks. They have 100,000 troops sitting there at the border. So if it's a little excursion, like a little incursion, like just moving just a little bit, like we gave you Crimea, we didn't really do much. If it's that, then we're going to let you go on that. But it's the bigger things, right? So this is, so she has to, this is a tough job. So now she has to try to clean that up.
period. And I will tell you that part of the posture that we have taken is grounded in the respect and the value we place in sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Madam
and in
Vice
particular
President,
in this case,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine.
Of course. And
so
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but it is less than clear because 30 minutes after the news conference, the White House press secretary had to actually clarify the president's remarks.
Savannah, I'm being clear with you right now.
Yes, okay.
And so if you're interested, I'll continue to be clear, which is that we have had direct conversations through various levels of diplomacy with Putin, with Russia, and most importantly, with our allies and partners, including our NATO allies and partners. We are clear and have been clear for quite some time that our first approach and priority and preference is that these issues could be resolved diplomatically.
Why does she have to go out and clean this stuff up?
Well, I think they're trying to get her ready
to quit?
For...
Get her to quit?
No.
That's what I would think. So the president says, you know, a little encouragement. It depends on what they do, right? If it's big, we'll do, but little things, no. And then now you go out there and you just filibuster, you know, you just take the floor, speak for as long as you possibly can and say absolutely nothing. Honestly, it seems like they have her trying to clean up. Here's more.
Is he really concerned that we may not have fair and free elections?
Okay, so there's the question, right? Because he was the president talking.
You were asked whether or not you believed that we would have free and fair elections in 2022 if some of these state legislatures reformed their voting protocols. You said that it depends. Do you think that they would in any way be illegitimate?
Oh, yeah, I think it easily could be illegitimate. Imagine if, in fact, Trump has succeeded in convincing Pence to not count the votes. Imagine if...
In regards to 2022, sir, the midterm
election. Oh, 2022.
Election.
I mean, imagine if those attempts to say that the count was not legit. You have to recount it, and we're not going to count. We're going to discard the following votes. I mean, sure, I'm not saying it's going to be legit. It's the increase... And the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed. But I don't think you're not going to see me, and I don't think you're going to see the Democratic Party give up on coming back at assuming that the attempt fails today.
What? So here's what Jen Psaki talk about cleanup. This is what she said. Let's be clear. They're all talking about being clear. POTUS was not casting doubt on the legitimacy of the 2022 election. He was making the opposite point. In 2020, a record number of voters turned out in the face of a pandemic, and election officials made sure they could vote and have those votes counted.
Okay.
So she's doing cleanup as well.
All right. Here's the vice president one more time.
Vote Act that have been the solution that has been offered to address the fact that around our country, states have put in place laws that are purposely making it more difficult for the American people to vote. Laws which will be felt by at least 55 million Americans, regardless of their party affiliation, their race, their gender, or their geographic location.
Well, to the point, though, because
so
those
we
bills
have been
were
clear,
debated.
And it's, but it's,
yeah, the bills it's, were it's, debated it, and they it, didn't
may,
pass.
If so I
the,
may finish,
specific,
if I may
course.
Finish.
But the specific question, if you don't mind, does he think now that these bills haven't been passed that the 22 midterms won't be legitimate or fair or free?
Let's not conflate issues. So what we are looking at and the topic of so much debate last night was that we as America cannot afford to allow this blatant erosion of our democracy and in particular the right of all Americans who are eligible to vote to have access to the ballot unfettered. That is the topic.
Okay. Wow. You ever interviewed a politician? They are the worst. You can't get in. They just keep going and just can't say anything and then stop them. And oh, it's terrible. She's just eating up the time.
Yeah. And she's never going to go off of her talking points because when she did that before and she appeared to be a little more human, people didn't like her. and her poll numbers went down. So they're trying to get her to look more vice presidential or even presidential, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of years. And they certainly don't want to lose her. Yeah. They want to see if they can prep her probably for doing that. You know, she's got a whole new communications director, and this is all very orchestrated. This is obviously on purpose.
Boy. Let's move on to local news. The fact that the Long-Term Care Act, this idea that the government's going to take a bunch of money from you every single year, they're going to put it aside for you so that it's there for you when you get old and you need it, a poorly written bill becomes law, and then when they finally start to implement it and put it in place, they're like, this dog won't hunt, so they pull it back, and now they're going to delay it.
The long-term care tax was problematic from the start.
Good intentions alone don't make for good policy.
If you didn't opt out, employers were required to take out 38 cents for every $100 earned for 10 years for a maximum benefit of $36,000 that would go to long-term nursing care. The reality is, $36,000 won't go far when people are decades away from a potential use. John opted out.
You have to be in it for 10 years and be a resident of Washington State and live in the state to get $36,000. And that to me was just, it's ridiculous.
So did Giancarlo and his wife.
With our income, we would end up paying just as much, if not more, than a private policy would cost. And a private policy was a much better way to go, just because the benefits are far exceeding the $36,000 max plan that the state offers.
In fact, so many people have opted out, Republicans say the fund paying the benefit would be insolvent from the get-go.
The fund is already insolvent. It's getting worse. And the latest actuarial report is based on 105,000 updates, not the 450,000 we have.
You can opt out if you show proof you have long-term insurance policy through a private carrier. But so many people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s were getting private plans with the intention of canceling after 1 year, just to prove to the state they had it.
That's brilliant. Good move, everybody.
One insurance broker says private insurance companies have stopped writing those plans for Washington State residents.
That's right.
In one day, they said, we are no longer writing anyone under the age of 40. And then 2 days later, they said, actually, we're not writing anyone anymore at all. So the private insurance market really tightened for options very quickly, because they were being flooded with folks that didn't meet their normal demographic.
Rather than scrap the tax altogether, as Republicans want.
And the only real solution is to repeal the program and look at ways to address long-term care issues.
House Democrats, the majority party, voted for an 18-month delay.
So that we can address a few of the issues that we've heard about to ensure that the program is as effective and efficient as we can make it.
In the Senate, Democrats, also the majority in power, are expected to do the same, which means Governor Inslee could sign the delay in a couple of weeks.
This is just a total scam by the government, as usual.
Okay, they're holding it off to what, 2023 July or something like that?
Mm-hmm. July 1st, 2023. So there's two bills that passed that goes to the Senate now. House Bill 1732 and then House Bill 1733. Mm-hmm. And that says that they allow some people who are not likely to receive benefits or have coverage, they can opt out permanently. And also, this affects the 150,000 people working in Washington but living in other states, so they don't have to opt in.
Here's what people know, or should know. Whenever government starts a program, it starts small. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and takes more and more of your money. And as it gets bigger and bigger, it becomes less and less efficient, and it fails at what its initial purpose was. In 1937, the Social Security Act, as written by Roosevelt and pushed onto the American people with no desire for it, was 1% of your first $3,000, right? Small percentage of people paying it, right? But it was 1%. And then every year, or every couple of years, they would add more and more to it. So not just women that are alone, widows or, you know, orphans. It kept getting bigger and bigger, and they add more and more and more. People think of it like a great big wagon, and there's more people in the wagon, and they just keep getting it larger and larger. Medicare, Medicaid, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's taking, what, 12.4, 12.6% of your income? They say the Social Security is going to have to go up even higher. This is your FICA, your federal income. And they didn't want to call it a tax because they didn't want to scare people with tax. So the C in FICA stands for anyone, anyone, Bueller, contribution.
contribution.
It's not a tax. Okay. Now you're just jumping on it. I see what you're doing over there, Elliker.
Okay. It was right on the tip of my tongue. I couldn't think of it.
We're going to skip traffic and I'm going to keep lecturing about the FICA tax. All right. Here we go. Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. The best in the business. That's Laura Kiel. And everybody at Kiel Mortgage will make you feel like you are their only customer. The customer service is outstanding. I can tell you from personal experience. Kiel Mortgage, the best. Thank you, Laura Kiel, for sponsoring the John Curley and Sherry Elliker show, starring Sherry Elliker and Artie Johnson. What is the headline on this pig thing? Because I was just looking to see pig kidneys transplant into brain dead man as patients face organ shortage.
That's it.
So then I thought, well, PETA's got to be mad about that.
I'm sure they are. But people that are on the 100,000 people that are on transplant waiting lists think this is a pretty good advancement.
Yes. Okay. Well, you ready? I'll take PETA. You take the others. Pigs aren't spare parts and should never be used as such because humans are too self-centered to donate their bodies to patients desperate for organ transplants. What's not in the headline that Sherry is talking about, that this quote-unquote transplant is not a transplant at all. It involves a brain-dead patient on a ventilator, not a person with a kidney disease, and the pig's kidney was attached to via blood vessels to the outside of the patient's body and stayed there for 54 hours. Human organs are still the best hope, and presumed consent laws would make enough available to help people that need a transplant. Stop using pigs for parts, Sherry.
Okay. Well, let's back up just a little bit because this is how they did it. It's interesting. It's called xenotransplantation, and that is the transplantation of an organ from one species to another. So they've thought for a long time that pigs' organs could be used in humans, but they usually transplant them into baboons or other monkeys. So as you know, we talked about this a week or so ago, there was a man at the University of Maryland who had a pig heart transplanted into him, and he's actually doing very well. Well, this guy needed some kidneys, and so they transplanted the kidneys from this 13-month-old, 350-pound male pig. Mm-hmm. They did some genetic edits on the pig, so the pig would be able to, so he wouldn't immediately reject the organ. And then they put the kidney in the guy, or they attached it to some arteries and things for about 78 hours.
Yes.
And it was, you know, marginally successful. But what this might pave the way for is more FDA clinical trials. They're saying doing this on brain dead patients, it's an advancement, but what you really need to do is to have the FDA approve this so they can have more trials and more people will be able to get these, potentially get these organs. Part of the problem is there's a limited number of 350-pound pigs, and they have to keep this pig in a germ-free environment up until the time when they're going to do the transplantation.
Not
the
things that normally go together, pigs in germ-free environments.
Exactly. So it was, you know, it's interesting whether or not it will lead to more experiments like this.
Pigs aren't parts. Parts aren't pigs. Pigs aren't parts. I'm going to splatter you with some blood or something right now.
Okay, go ahead.
PETA feels about it. In China, what they're doing now is taking embryos and growing organs, human organs. So you, in a petri dish, you can mix two things together. Next thing you know, get something else. The next thing you can grow a human organ. And the government and research, which is where research dollars come from, the government, they're like, wow, we're really uncomfortable with this. And China's like, look, you know what? Too bad. We're going to keep going with this idea. And no, we don't want to all of a sudden have this like warehouse, this store of human parts where are we going to grow an entire human being and then, you know, get the parts out of them? So it is sort of this big step in a couple of years where all of a sudden you'll be able to basically grow parts of a human being. And is that a conscious human being? Are these are cells of something? This could have been a full human, but you decided to sort of mitigate it somehow and only grow a part of it and then use that. Would you be okay with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Or pigs?
I'd be more inclined to not use the pigs. I mean, if you can grow an actual human organ, one that is supposed to be, I mean, it's kind of like getting parts for a car, right? I mean, if you can get the right parts, you want to get
aftermarket. I'd go aftermarket, but that's just me. Yeah.
So yes, I think that would save many, many lives. And there are a lot of people that are, I happen to know someone who's a kidney and liver transplant patient, and they had to wait a very long time to get that. It saved their lives, and they have had a completely full life because of it. So it's really important.
But you can see, so we're going to combine two cells. We're going to create a living thing in those embryos. That's a human being. Right. This is where you get into the religious part of it.
It has the potential, but
the DNA, once you get those two things together, I'm not going to get too graphic, but there's a thing. The man has a little seed and the woman has a little egg, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get together and then they make the beginning of a human being. So you're going to combine the two. You're going to make the beginning of a DNA structure to create a unique human being. And then you're going to grow the parts just for other human beings.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm okay with that. I am. I mean, I know that there are ethical questions and that there are people that have religious beliefs that think that that would be something that would be immoral or that should be reserved for Mother Nature to do that. But I think that the greater good that would come from something like that, from that kind of revolutionary medical science, it would be worth it. I mean, yes, you're going to get all the comparisons to Frankenstein and all of these different things, and the potential is there for all kinds of problems, but if it meant that, you know, that people would have an option and that could live longer, I'm all for it.
Okay.
And you?
Are you upset by the fact that Soylent Green is people?
No, Charlton Heston.
Of that movie where it was 2022.
Yeah,
so when they
did
that movie, when they first did it, it was, and this is what the world will be like in 2022. That movie was, you know, projecting forward to what it is now, what life is supposed to be like now. They've missed on a wide variety of things, like no cell phone, no internet, no computer. Women were called furniture. So kind of backed up on that one. And then it was so crowded that we had to eat people.
Right, right.
And, I don't want to ruin it. Oh, no, if anybody's going to be watching that one tonight.
it was recently that it was written about saying that there were actually some things in there that were a little bit accurate about 2022. Not the people part, but there were a few things.
Soylent Green is people! He always had it at the end of every movie, Charlton Heston, "You dirty, stinking apes!" Right?
Yeah, he's always screaming.
It's always at the end of the thing. It's worse than Al Pacino. All right. Something fun tomorrow on the show. Sherry, I didn't even know. Did we tell Sherry we were going to do this, Jacob?
I have not, so unless you did, no.
Okay. Let's not tell her then.
Okay.
That's a good way to do it.
It involves a pig's heart, Sherry. It involves a pig's heart.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, tomorrow, the know-it-all quiz is something we used to do, but I thought, you know what? Let's do something different. So this is going to be stuff Sherry has said. And the quiz tomorrow, same thing. Everything's going to happen just like it always does with the quiz. It's going to be stuff that Sherry has said. So I'm going to find sound of nutty stuff so that people get to know you better. And I even have had a song written about it. So we're all set and ready to go. So tomorrow, quiz all about Sherry and Sherry's life.
All right. I can't wait. This is very exciting.
You, boy, like you couldn't sound any more insincere. That is an amazing bit of fakeness right there.
I am excited. I'm a little nervous.
Jacob, what did you hear when she said that?
Well, I you know, John, she's a professional voice actor, so
she's losing a step. I'll
tell you
that right
now. Do you want
it
a different way? I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Okay, that's good. Sherry, can you just take a minute? Just hold on a second. That's great.
That's always the worst, isn't it, Sherry? You and I have done these. So what happens is, folks, you go in, they hire you to do a voiceover, and you go behind this giant piece of glass, and there's like the client is in this other room. They've got like, you know, fancy snacks and stuff and really nice leather couches. And the guy's like, okay, let's give this one a try. We need it under 22 seconds. And you're like, okay. And then you do it. And they're like,
okay, can you hold on a second?
And then you see them turn. You can see them in there. And
they're talking about
they're talking,
it. They hate it.
They hate it, and they hate you. And you're like, oh, my God. I got it. And like,
okay, let's try that again, but a little kind of a little bit more of a smile on your voice, okay?
And then you do it again. And then they,
okay, can you hang on a second?
And then you see everybody shaking their head no. And you're thinking, right. Oh,
it's so awful, and you get more nervous each time they stop and start, and then you really think, okay, what am I going to do? One time I did this. Remember, Giant Food is a big grocery store, and I had a thing to do a bunch of stuff for them. Uh-huh. And usually the talk back button, they turn it off. They push the talk back button, and you
right,
sit
like this.
Okay, Sherry, hold on a second. Just take two. Okay, hold on.
And then they left the thing open.
They left it open.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was like, she doesn't sound anything like her tape. She doesn't sound anything like it. What's wrong? Wait a minute. Is there somebody else we can get? Can we get somebody right away? Yeah, I was devastated. I didn't know what to do. And then the guy's like, okay, Sherry, we're gonna do that one more time. And then we're good. Okay, let's do it one more time. And I knew they would fired me, right? So I did it again, and I just, you know, talk about the walk of shame out of there. I mean, I think they let me do it like two more times, and they're like, okay, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, no problem. Okay. Awful.
When they start giving you more and more direction, and you don't know which way you want to go. And I have dyslexia, so I the best spots I ever got were Bon Marché, which then was taken over by Macy's. And I used to do these spots with Kathy Levin. And Kathy had, it was a 30-second spot, because there was constantly a spot at Bon Marché, always having sales. Always. And Kathy would be a 60. Kathy would have 52 seconds of copy, and all I had to say was Bon Marché, perfect together. Or I had to play like the clunky husband. I'm like, honey, I'm upstairs trying to find the fireworks. She's like, the 4th of July isn't for another 2 weeks, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be another sale at Bon Marché, especially this weekend. They're going to be having 15% off on women's panties and camper creep pants. I mean, this big, long list, right? And the first time I'm doing the spot with her, I'm looking at her like I'm your husband, so I'm trying to stay in character. And then I have to go, Bon Marché, perfect together. So she's halfway through the thing. She's like, men's capri pants and sweat. She goes, excuse me. She looks at me. She goes, stop it. And I said, what am I doing? She goes, stop looking at me. I'm not your wife. I'm not your girlfriend. I'm trying to get through all this copy. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Oh, I loved her. Oh, my God, I loved her.
Yeah,
52 seconds of copy, and they're like, that's great, Kathy. Can you go a little faster?
Oh, the worst is this. You know, it's really good. We just need you to shave about a half second off that. Okay, no problem. Half second. I can do that.
We're going to be listening to some of Sherry's worst takes later on.